those Nate and Priscilla are rising seniors, so they have one more year of Bible college. And then we have, for the next 2 years after that, we have people who will be graduating as well. I think Matt is a rising junior, is that right? And then Rebecca and Annie are both going to be sophomores. So, well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and find your place in Proverbs 31. I'm going to share something with you first, though. You know, we think about mother. This being Mother's Day, when I think about mom, I think about so much that she's done for me in my past and how she raised me. She was not a Christian. She didn't raise me with Christian values. But she was a person who still cared for me. And, of course, if there's something we can't do without, it's a mother. Now, let me just share with you what someone has written about mother. It says, father loves her, daughter imitates her, son ignores her. Salespeople thrive on her, motorists hurry around her, teachers phone her, and the woman next door confides in her. She can be sweeter than sugar, more sour than a lemon, all smiles and crying her heart out all within any given two-minute period. She likes sewing, having her birthday remembered, church, a new dress, a cleaning woman, father's praise, a little lipstick, flowers and plants, dinner out, policeman, one whole day in bed, sunny days, and the newspaper boy. She dislikes doing dishes, father's boss, having her birthday forgotten, the motorist behind her, spring cleaning, junior's report card, rainy days, the neighbor's dog, stairs, and the man who was supposed to cut the grass. She can be found standing by, bending over, reaching for, kneeling under, stretching around, but rarely sitting on. She has the beauty of a spring day, the patience of a saint, the appetite of a small bird, and the memory of a large elephant. She knows the lowest prices, everybody's birthday, what you should be doing, and all your secret thoughts. She's always straightening up after, reminding you to, and taking care of, but never asking for. Yes, a mother is one that nobody can do without. When you have harassed her, buffeted her, tried her patience, and worn her out, and it seems that the end of the world is about to descend upon you, then you can win her back with four little words. Mom, I love you. As we think about mothers, mothers are a special person. It's amazing, you know, we think about dads, but mom is the one who's always there. Dad's always doing something else, making a little money and spending time away from home, but mom is right there, right when the child needs her. So mothers are a special person. If you have your Bibles open to Proverbs 31, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to begin reading verse 10 this morning. Now, this is the biblical perspective of a mother. And, of course, this is what we strive to be, but find it hard to be as, for sure. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the purpose we're here, again, that we can worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're thankful for our mothers. And Father, we know that there's no perfect mother as of yet, but we know those that are born again will reach perfection. And even today, as we think about our mothers and what they mean to us, we realize that they've instilled in us so much. They spent so much time. They've done so many things. And Father, we're thankful that you saw fit to give us a mother. Now we pray that you just bless this time that we have together. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. You know, we think about a mother's love, and like I say, mom is the one who's always there. Mother always wants the best for her children. No matter what they do, she'll always love them. She will sacrifice for them. She'll pray for them. She'll be there for them. She'll make sure that they have what they need. In the Bible, there are several mothers that are demonstrated or demonstrate these qualities. And I'm reminded in 1 Kings, if you want to, you can turn over there, 1 Kings chapter 3. And of course, this is speaking of the wisdom of Solomon, but we see someone who is a mother that understands. Look at verse 16 of 1 Kings chapter 3. It said, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. When we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. And so, I'm not going to read the rest of it, but the king, in his wisdom, saw that there was no way out to win this, so he calls for a sword. And he's going to divide the child in half and give each woman half the child. And right away, one of the women was all for it. But one of the women said, No, give her the child. And the king in his wisdom knew which one was the mother, the one who wanted to see the child survive. And so he gave the child to that woman. You see, a mother will do anything for her child. And this woman, rather than have the child or see him cut in twain, wanted him to live, and she would have given him up. That's amazing to me. But that's a mother's heart, isn't it? And so I know as I was growing up, my mother, she sacrificed for me and my sister. When my dad chose to leave our family, I was 13, she became the breadwinner. She worked a lot of hours on the Air Force base. Then she was in a kitchen, and then finally she went to the flight line and drove a truck and worked out there with the GIs and sold them food off the truck. And times were tough. There wasn't a lot of money. And but as we were living and she was taking care of us, I remember her sacrifices. Before she was worried about what she had, she wanted to make sure that we had what we needed. Now, we didn't have a lot. I remember when I was a young person, and right before school, Dad and Mom would take us to Montgomery Ward's or Sears and buy us, you know, several sets of clothes so we could be prepared for school. When I got older, Mom didn't have the money. I was lucky to get one pair of pants, maybe a shirt. I remember one time I was wearing my shoes. They were crepe soled, like the desert boots that I bought at, I think it was Woolworths, cheaper brand. And as I was wearing those, about a month later, the threads came out of the boot. So the leather was coming off the crepe sole. So I'm a pretty smart fellow, you know, being an engineer. I wasn't an engineer then, but I figured I'd fix this. So I got the staple gun out. And I stapled that leather to the crepe sole. Thought I fixed it. I was in algebra class. I remember a girl looked down and says, "Bruce." I said, "Yes." She said, "Your staples are coming out." Talk about embarrassing. I was very embarrassed. But Mom, she tried her best, and she did her best. When I was 15, I had a friend that used to come pick me up on his motorcycle. And I started having a desire to have a motorcycle. Never expected that I'd ever get one. But Mom went to the finance company, borrowed the money, and bought me a brand new Honda 100. Still have it, by the way. And that was for my 15th birthday. Why'd she do that? Because she loved me. She cared for me. She couldn't give me all the time in the world, but she wanted to give me things that would help me along the way or please me. And Proverbs 31:28, it said, "Her children arise up and call her blessed." And today I can tell you that my mother wasn't perfect, but she was a mother that was perfect to me. She took care of me. She made sure I had what I needed. You know, Mom's that way, isn't she? She wants what's best for her children, always. Remember the story in Genesis, Jochebed. And Pharaoh came out with a decree that he wanted all the male children killed. And so she took her child and put him in an ark and went and sailed him down the Nile. Not necessarily knowing what was going to happen to him, but we know that he was found by the Pharaoh's sister. And, of course, it was amazing how God intervened in that whole situation, because she couldn't take care of the child and she needed someone to nurse it, so she got one of the Israelites to do it, and it just happened to be Jochebed. And you can see God's mercy and God's grace in that. But because of her desire, Moses was the one who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it was by God's hand of protection that he took care of him. I think of another mother in the Bible, in 1 Samuel. We will not turn there, but her name was Hannah. And Hannah was one that could not have children. And so she went to the temple and prayed. I remember as she was praying, Eli the priest overheard her and thought she was drunk. And she said, "No, she's not drunk. She's praying to God that she could have a child." And she made a commitment to God that day. "God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give that child back to you." And so as she went about her way, she conceived and bare Samuel. When Samuel was old enough, she took him back to the temple and gave him to God, in a sense. And again, we see that She was wanting what was best for this child. Now, we as parents, we need to take that example. Not that we have to bring the child to the church and put the church on the altar and say, "Pastor, you keep him. You feed him. You train him." No, we don't want to do that. But we still ought to dedicate our children to the Lord. We say, "Lord, we need your direction on how to raise these children. We need your direction to help us to oversee the grace that it takes to raise a child in today's society." And it does take God's grace. Jesus had told the story of the two laborers as they went out into the field to labor. Of course, these workers were hired at different times throughout the day. And at the end of the day, the master gave them their pay. And each one got the same wage. Why? Because it was the master's hand to do that. It was right after this that John and James' mother, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Her being a woman of faith and obviously believed in the kingdom of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, she wanted what was best for her children. And in her mind, what was best for her children is that her sons would sit on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus Christ. Now, what godly mother wouldn't want that? That their children would sit on the right hand or left hand of Jesus Christ. Of course, her request was a little presumptuous. And Jesus told her, says, "It's not mine to give, but it's God's." And so, again, we see a mother who cares. And mothers have a big influence on their children. They make a difference in a child's life. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy for a second. Second Timothy. Look at chapter 1 first, verse 5. Paul is writing. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." You see, he's making the statement that he realized his grandmother and his mother influenced him greatly in the faith. And again, this is what a godly mother does. A godly mother is going to train her children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She's going to try to guide them and direct them into the will of God. And specifically, that is to put their faith and trust in Jesus. And that's one of the biggest influences a mother can have in her children, is to demonstrate and influence her children. Turn over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Look at verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul is talking to Timothy here, and he's trying to help him to remember, or tell him to remember, those things which your parents, or excuse me, your grandmother and your mother have taught you. As they have lived and believed, you too ought to live and believe. Now, isn't that a wonderful thought? When mom has that influence on our children, to see your child go on and serve God. A lot of children don't. A lot of children reject God and go on and serve themselves. And it's because of the home, more often than not. The inconsistencies of mom and dad. And it makes a difference in a person's life. You know, as faithful as you are, it's going to make an influence on your children. one of the things I learned after I got saved was, if there's something going on at church, I'm to be at church. Not just me, but my family should be at church too. And I tried to instill that in our children. When I began going on visitation, I started with by myself or with other men. And then I realized I need to bring my children along. So I started taking my children. They needed to understand what it was and what this was about. The best training tool we have is not just the example, but to put into practice what we believe. It makes a difference in their lives. I was reading an article. It's talking about four ministers were discussing the merits of the various translations of the Bible. One of the ministers liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Standard Version best because it's more literal and comes nearer to the original Hebrew and Greek, which is not true, by the way. They don't even use the original Hebrew and Greek. The third liked Moffat's translation best because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent. When asked to express his opinion, he replied, "I like my mother's translation best." The other three expressed surprise. They wondered what he was driving at. "Yes," he replied, "Mother translated the Bible into everyday life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." That's the way it should be for us. We ought to take the Bible and translate the Bible in living and demonstrating that, and our children will get it. You see, Christianity is not bought, but it's caught. When they see that you believe it and trust it and really want to live it, they too will believe it and trust it and really want to live it. If they don't see that, then they're going to be confused. They're really not going to know the right direction. Timothy, we see, was taught the scriptures at his mother's knees, at his grandmother's knees. He learned the scriptures. He heard the word of God. He saw the faith demonstrated. His upbringing made a difference in his life. And it was because his mother loved him. Timothy was a man of God. He became a missionary, a pastor. He was a teacher. He was a preacher of the word. 2 Corinthians 1:19, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." 1 Thessalonians 3:2, and he says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith." And he was a pastor. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." He was a pastor at Ephesus. How did that come about? Did God just one day grab him by the collar and say, "Timothy, I'm calling you in the ministry"? No, it had to do with being in the Word of God, being trained in the Word of God, and being sensitive to the things of God. And it took somebody time to disciple him, his grandmother, his mother, and Paul. They instilled in this young man the importance of following God, putting God first in your life. And through that, he was able to do that very thing. Timothy became a man that loved the Lord. And we have the story in the Bible here about that. And I think a lot of it had to do with his family and his upbringing. Now, his dad was a Greek. I don't know if he ever got saved. I don't know how he led in the family. All we know is that his mother and his grandmother had a difference in his life. And so today I want to remind you mothers that you can make the difference in your children's life. We see it today. There are mothers in here that have made a difference in your child's life. Jill, for instance. There's a difference in Jill. And to be honest with you, when she came to me and wanted to come to Camp Barnabas, I was a little taken back. But then when we were driving in the truck on the way home, she said, "I'm going to Ambassador." I thought, "What?" Didn't make much sense in the way I was thinking that she was thinking. But I see that God has done a work in her life. And we, as parents, need to make choices. We need to try to raise our children, nurture and admonition of the Lord, letting them see what's real and what. When we make mistakes, let them know that. Because when you do it God's way, God will give the grace to take care of it. But when you don't, you have an opportunity to lose your children. You know, God's given each one of us a mother. And although she may not be perfect, she is our mom, and she loves us. You know, God could have planned the human race any number of ways. Yeah, but in His wisdom, He knew we needed a mom to care for us and nurture us. And as we think about Mother's Day and all that it means to us and our moms, we have to give God thanks. Even for those moms that aren't necessarily perfect, haven't lived a perfect life. You know, God still gives us grace. I'm a first-generation Christian. My mom, my dad were not Christians. Now, mom got saved later in life, which I'm grateful for. But the fact of the matter is, she lived a life apart from God. And she taught me contrary to the Bible. But God gives grace nonetheless. And He can do the same for us. Today, I hope each one of you that have a mom that's still alive, we'll reach out to her. If she's not here close by where you can hug her, I would suggest that you call her and tell her that you love her. You know, you say, "But my mom's not saved." Well, you can have an influence on your mom. You can make a difference in your mom's life. I know, I've experienced it. And so it's important. Moms are important. It's God's plan that we have a mother. Now, God would want all mothers to be saved and train their children, nurture and admonition of the Lord, but He also knows that it doesn't always happen that way. But nonetheless, we can be thankful. Thankful for what God has given us. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for the fact that You've given us mothers, and more so those that are saved and are training their children. I pray that each child in this room today, young and old, realizes the influence of mom. Today there may be some here that are away from You, serving self other than God. I pray that they would bow a knee and confess that. Nothing more than a godly mother would want to see is his child serving God. Have Your way and Your will in all that's said and done. Rest the service. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Adam, would you like to come up and lead a song? Sit down.